State Representative Terry Bryant has held the seat since 2015, and this year she will be challenged by Republican Paul Jacobs, a local optometrist and owner of Onyeka Winery. And Jacobs says he decided to run for the seat after watching the population decline because of high taxes.
I've watched the rather rapid decline in the last few years, but the slow decline in the population. We used to have people that would just stay here and retire here. They used to also go up to Peoria and work for a career up in Carterville or in Caterpillar. And those people are no longer staying here. They've already moved.
Property taxes are a fairly stable source of income for various state agencies. And in order to lessen the burden on property owners, Jacobs would like to look harder and do what's necessary to find other sources of income.
First, you can't run everybody out of the state. You just can't run them out of the state. So you have to find something. You've got to turn the stones over and find out. You have to go through whatever legal process we can to turn those stones over. There has got to be, with a state that collects $40 billion, there's not a state around us that collects $40 billion. Every state around us collects less than $15 billion and runs on that. Why do we take $40 billion and we can't figure out some place to, you know, find extra money? The Inspector General is a pretty good example. When we didn't fill the seat in 2014, almost 3 years, it went empty. That seat, when they were empty, they had nobody in the office. There was absolutely nobody there. But they funded that seat. They funded that office $1.6 million. Ask them where that went. No one knows where that money went.
Jacobs is opposed to last year's income tax hike, and he's also against the progressive tax. And when asked about where the state should get the money to pay its bills,
the money has to come from reform on the university system. We've got to find systems that, you know, when we paid chancellors, presidents $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 years ago, they could pad up and get all the extra employees that they wanted. The administration could get quite high. I think those areas need to be looked at. I think that we're way higher than most other states as far as the number of administrators.
Jacobs believes similar reforms are needed for the K-12 system as well.
You know, we want to have Murfreesboro and we want to have Carbondale, but I don't know if we have the need for the seven superintendents. We don't pay them $70,000 anymore. They're $150,000, $200,000, $300,000, $450,000. $425,000 up in the Chicago area.
Shootings in schools and other public areas are a big concern. Jacobs supports the Second Amendment, and he also believes people with mental health issues should not own a weapon. He also says that the breakdown of the family unit is a part of the problem.
I'm pretty big on Second Amendment. The mass shooting, well, you know, I don't understand. I had the same weapons available in the 50s when I was a kid, and we didn't run around shooting up people. So I don't think it's a gun problem. I don't think it's a gun problem. I like metal detectors. I think that one way in, one way out, a much more hard area to get to is a fine way of doing it. It's our family unit. We don't have the old family unit. I mean, I was raised with nine brothers and sisters, and I had mom and dad at home, and you know, the brothers and sisters were there, and we all fought, and we all would beat each other up, and. But there's an innate love that you have, and I think a lot of the kids today they're not learning it. But I wonder if Hollywood, murder is murder, they do it easily, and it maybe makes people think oddly. I think that the mental health issue is a big, big issue.
In order to get the state's checkbook back in black, Jacobs wants to see a lot of effort made at finding out where to cut from each unit. And he says there is still waste to get rid of.
I think it's still a matter of going through each agency almost. There may even be a way that you could just go, look, every one of your agencies, you're going to get 5% less. We'd see how much money you could save. They have money There is money that's there. It's just that they don't say anything about the money. I think that your public assistance, the people that really are needing the public assistance, are not necessarily getting the public assistance, because there's so many people that are coming to Illinois to replace the people that are leaving, because we have a wonderful public assistance program. That area, that's a huge area that I think that there's places to save money and still help the people that really need it.
Jacobs would like to see pension reform to help balance the books.
The problem is, in 2006, we spent 17% on pensions. 2017, 53% on pensions. So your operations money was reduced, but not at $4.1 billion. So you can't ask the people to keep doing that. You have, you know, any way you get 2.5 to 4.1, they're still spending, and they're spending heavily. But unfortunately, the pension systems are drawing it down.
Jacobs believes the SIU Carbondale campus needs to change to reflect the new numbers of students.
You know, we have a school that's set up now to teach probably 20,000 people, but we only have 13,000, including internet. So it's not a real going business. It's having trouble. They need to cut wherever they need to cut to make it where we teach the 13,000 that we have. Whether it's on, I don't know if they want to keep everybody on staff. They need to look at how they need to do things. And I still think it goes back up to the hierarchy. We have probably way too much throughout the state of Illinois.
Candidate Jacobs stresses that structural reform won't be done overnight, but it needs to be done, and he says he is tired of politicians kicking the can down the road. And now we'll hear from Republican Terry Bryant of Murfreesboro, who currently holds the 115th seat. On the subject of funding higher education, she says this year the expectation is that there will not be an increase in funding.
I think for this next year, we're going to probably have to look at maintaining the same funding. Clearly, that is not going to get the job done. When we see that SIU had to raise tuition by 2%, and we know that they are already doing are looking at a plan to spend less money, I think that the universities have caught on to the fact that they can't spend the way they did in the past. For most of them, they're just trying to keep their heads above water right now, SIU in particular. I mean, we really dodged a bullet in putting the budget in place, because had we gone to junk bond status, SIU was already at junk bond status, and we were actually looking at the possibility, because of them losing their accreditation. One of the major things that the firm that accredits universities looks at is, are they financially stable? Certainly in the future, we know that costs go up on everything. So if costs are going up, if we stay stagnant on our funding, it is in essence a cut, because their costs are going to go up. So as legislators, I think we need to continue to look at each university individually and see if they have caught on to the fact that they've got to do their part. I think SIU is moving in that direction. SIU Edwardsville already has made some changes. SIU Carbondale has a proposed plan, and we'll have to wait and see if the chancellor and the faculty at SIU take hold of that and move in that direction. Each university is going to have to do that. Right now, we will have to stay probably with the funding that we have. We cannot afford any more cuts. The legislature cannot cut higher education any more than it has. They're too unstable.
On the income tax increase, Brian said with SIU's future at stake, there was no choice.
So we would like to roll back the present tax. I voted to increase the income tax, obviously, because we had we now know $16.5 billion of a backlog of bills. At the time I voted on it, I thought it was $14.5 billion. Those have to be paid. So I made that vote to protect the university, to protect our schools, to make sure that we were moving in a direction of paying those vendors who were really unwilling lenders. So, I mean, we started calling them, saying they're vendors, not lenders. So in regard to the tax structure, even at the federal level, there's a push right now to move away from a progressive tax and go to more of a flat tax. So if we change to a progressive tax, we not only become the highest taxed state in the country, which is mostly because of our property taxes. You know, our income tax rate is one of the lower taxes in the country. Our property tax rate is one of the highest, if not the highest, in the country. So it's put us at the very top, kind of go back and forth between Illinois and New Jersey. If we move to a progressive income tax, we will be far away more heavily taxed than any other state in the country. So I don't think the progressive tax idea is the right way to go. I think we need to go back and review all of the mandates that we put on locals and make that our next starting point, since we've pretty much taken care of the school funding issue.
In the wake of the recent shootings, Brian believes in the Second Amendment.
So I don't think the answer is to begin to ban guns or to keep our citizenry from being able to purchase those items. I think clearly, even at Parkland, and you know, I went to high school in South Florida, not too far from Parkland, and so I know that area really well. I think in that case in particular, we see that we had rules and laws set up, and even to the point of we say to someone, see something, say something, even that was done. So we had the laws in place to protect people. They just didn't work. And I think that and many of the other shootings that we've seen most recently lean more towards mental health issues. We as a state and we as a country don't take mental illness as seriously as we should. And even if we say we take it seriously, we don't fund it appropriately. So again, if we want to solve some of these problems, we're going to have to make sure that when we tell people to, if you see something, say something, then we act on it. And if we say that we seriously want to take care of mental health issues, then we have to fund it.
When it comes to reforms to make Illinois more attractive to business?
The number one reform issue has to be workers' comp. We don't have to be the lowest workers' comp rate in the country, but we have to be more competitive.
Bryant would also like to see the legislative maps redrawn, and she supports a term limit of 10 years.
Even more than term limits, we have to fix our map. You know, if we don't find a way to draw our maps in a way that make it fair to everyone, we're going to continue to see inequity.
That was 115th State House Representative Terry Bryant. And before that, you heard her Republican opponent in the upcoming March primary, Paul Jacobs. You can hear extended interviews with these candidates on our website, news.wsiu.org. For WSIU In Focus, I'm Kevin Boucher.